You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Morant, the drive, the floater,
yes! Ja Morant is special, 45.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Dave DeFore here with Mo DeKeel for your Wednesday update. Before we start, don't forget you can get this pod without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA show. Mo, game two, Memphis Golden State comes down to the wire, comes down to Ja Morant with the ball in his hands, but this time, Mo, he seals the deal. Ja Morant hits a spinning shot in the lane, a little floater to put Memphis up for good. He hits two free throws to cap it off. What a night from Ja Morant as the Memphis Grizzlies defeat the Golden State Warriors 106-101. Mo, this is maybe the signature game of Ja Morant's career so far.
I think so. I think there's no way to really look at it in any other light. I mean, 47 points. The team's down 1-0 in the series. Jaren Jackson Jr. fouls out. Dylan Brooks played 3 minutes and got ejected, and I'm sure we'll get into that in just a moment. But, like, he stepped up in a way where he answered the bell every time it needed somebody to answer. And it was very impressive getting, you know, the step back three that he hit in crunch time was huge to kind of put them up one and then continue on from that. And just, hey, Golden State, just a word of advice. Maybe once force him to his right. Just try at the top of the key, shifting your stance and force him to the right. Because you haven't been able to stop him left except for that one play in game one. And to be fair to you, not a lot of teams have been able to stop him going to his left. So maybe change something for a little bit here and go to work there on that. I think that was one of the things that was kind of surprising, was just how easily he was getting into the lane. And, you know, on that bucket that really kind of put them up three, when he got into the lane, he drove right by Andrew Wiggins with no resistance. Thompson showed up to help, but he's going to his left, goes up to the floater, and he cashes it, Dave.
Yeah, you know, that step back three that he hit over Clay, I thought Clay was sagging way too deep off of him for the way that Ja shot in the first two games. I mean, at this point, Mo, you have to think for game three, the strategy on the three ball for Ja has to adjust at least a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm still not going to overreact yet, right? He got hot. He started out hot in game one and kind of cooled off, and now it, you know, was really good throughout this game. I'm not going to overreact yet. And it's very similar to Giannis, Dave. I'd rather him bomb away from three than get into the paint. So I think I'm going to play more to that. So I'm not too mad about Clay being too far off on that instance. I think I'm just going to have to live with those threes. But it's when he gets into the lane, it's really my issue, or how he's getting in there and how they're defending that.
Coach, when you said earlier today that you expected tonight to be the most physical game you played all year, is what we saw in the first quarter what you had in mind?
No, that wasn't physical. That was dirty.
You mentioned Dylan Brooks being ejected in this game. 3 minutes into the game, Mo, Dylan Brooks delivers a shot to Gary Payton II's head on a layup attempt by Gary Payton. Gary Payton lands really awkwardly, has to leave the game. He was out for the rest of the game with an injured elbow. Preliminary MRI results are inconclusive. Hopefully we'll find out more as the days progress ahead of game three. But Mo, Dylan Brooks, I mean, this was a flagrant two, and I thought this one was very clear, unlike the Draymond one from the other night, where maybe you could argue. Now, this one was pretty clear.
Yeah, I mean, the guys in midair, you're talking about a full windup from behind, and you're nowhere near the ball and get him crashing right into the head. And I think, you know, it wasn't a difficult one to call in the moment, you know. And I think, you know, my first reaction was like, oh, flagrant one. Then I saw the replay. I was like, nope, flagrant two. Got to go. And I think, especially if you're the Warriors and the referees know what was called last game and what was a flagrant. If that was a flagrant two, this one has to be a flagrant two as well.
Yeah, Steve Kerr, and it's very rare you see this from a coach. I mean, he said it was a dirty play, and he said it in the in-game interview, and I think everyone kind of felt that way, Mo.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Dylan Brooks isn't one of the cleanest players. Like, if we're just being honest with how he plays and how everything goes, I also think some of that was frustration. Draymond had gotten hit with what I thought was an inadvertent elbow. I didn't think that one was on purpose from Tillman. And, you know, but there's frustration there from Kerr going like, one dude's going to get x-rays and one dude's in the back getting stitches. Like, yeah, he's going to be pissed off walking into that interview.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of guys stood out for the Grizzlies. I mean, when other guys are out, you mentioned Jaren Jackson fouling out, no Dylan Brooks. Well, luckily they had Zaire Williams and De'Anthony Melton, and just unsung heroes. And Zaire, 4 of 8 from three, back-to-back threes that really just kept Memphis in it when it felt like the Warriors were about to be inevitable.
I mean, these were wild. Like just understand something. Williams going 4 for 8 in a game is something you don't expect. You know, he's not that great of a shooter. But more importantly, Williams doing it in a playoff game in crunch time scenarios is unbelievable, and good for him, man. Those are big time shots. One was Melton with a great pass, kicking it to the corner from basically the weak side corner, and he hits that one. The Warriors turn the ball over on the other end in transition. Ja finds him for a transition three, cashed it. And I mean, like, those were big, big plays.
Yeah, De'Anthony Melton on the defensive end, Mo. I mean, he had a huge block late.
It was right in a sequence, Dave, when it was going back and forth. Ja hits the three. Curry comes down and hits a layup, you know, over traffic, over the big man. Ja comes down and hits, I believe, another runner. And then same play. Curry basically gets by the defense again, gets in the lane. Melton comes clean off his man and sends that shot into orbit, or just out of bounds. And that was a huge, huge play from that moment on.
We got to talk about the Warriors because, listen, they only lost this game by 5 somehow. And when I say somehow, dude, they were 7 of 38 from 3. They had 18 turnovers. This is a weird Warriors performance. I thought Klay and Draymond were bad in this game. And, you know, Draymond, maybe it's from taking the elbow, but it doesn't matter. He's on the court. Both of those guys hurt him tonight.
I thought they were bad. I thought Curry was a little bit reckless. 5 turnovers from him for 18 for the team as a whole. I felt like, you know what? I just felt they got discombobulated. I think, you know, the Gary Payton injury actually really kind of took them for a loop there a little bit. And then Draymond, I think it kind of threw them off their rhythm a bit, you know. And I think, listen, Wiggins wasn't very good on the offensive end. He had a couple of plays defensively that I thought were pretty good, but and then some that were kind of shaky overall. But just the team itself felt like they were very, really, really off in how they kind of performed with everything. But there were some impressive things too. 60 points in the paint for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, they didn't shoot the ball well from three, but going, you know, shooting that, getting that many in the paint's big for them. Out-rebounding the Memphis Grizzlies when they're generally the smaller team. It's promising stuff there. I think this is just, look, we played our two worst games, I think, in the playoffs, and we're going back home 1-1. Think we're okay.
The Warriors probably feeling pretty lucky to be 1-1. I'm thinking about the next game. Don't know about Gary Payton. Would you start?
We do now.
Oh.
A tweet just came in. Kendra Andrews is reporting Gary Payton II has a fractured left elbow and will have an MRI tomorrow.
Well, that's bad news that we're just getting live here on the Ding. And Mo, you know, you actually texted me earlier that it did not look good at all. And I didn't even get a clean look of it when it happened live.
I mean, I luckily get to go back and watch the video with some of my stuff. And I just didn't like how he was, he braced himself when he fell. And I think that's something that tends to lead to breaks and fractures. And I think, you know, I didn't want to tweet anything, but that was just kind of my thought of like, oh, this isn't good.
Yeah, it definitely didn't look good, but it leads to the same question I was going to ask you, Mo. I mean, I guess you're going to have to start Jordan Poole now, right? Like, I mean, he's just been too potent offensively off the bench, and with the way that Golden State's offense has looked the first two games, you need a guy that can just make stuff happen, right?
I think that's probably the idea, and part of it, you know, the part of the reason why they were starting Peyton, though, was how he was so good defensively. I think the one thing that wouldn't shock me if it's not Poole, I think it's going to be Poole. I'm with you on that, Dave. But the one thing wouldn't surprise me if they try to just size up a little bit to start the game and go with Looney. Didn't play much tonight, only 9 minutes, but that might be something I could see them going with to start game three.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Giannis is 0 for 6. The Bucks are 1 for 11. Grant Williams for 3. Yes, sir. Wow. They are on their feet at TD Garden. What a start for Boston.
In the early game, Mo, the Boston Celtics showed up. They actually showed up to this game after getting handled pretty easily in game one. They really stomped the Bucks 109-86. And Mo, it started right away. They went on a 15-3 run to start the game. They just looked different right out of the gate. So much more energy, so much more physicality.
I mean, it was night and day in terms of the difference. You felt it in game one where the Bucks were just a much more physical team. And immediately Boston came in and you felt like they played with an edge. You can tell they've been waiting for this game. They talked about it a ton on the broadcast. Jaylen Brown coming to the arena 3 hours early to make sure he got extra shots up and things like that and get into a rhythm. They came in here with the, hey, we're going to hit first and hit often throughout this game. And you really felt it. Just even on the screen, I felt it when I was watching them.
Yeah, and following up on a series where we saw Al Horford and Grant Williams credibly defend Kevin Durant and actually do a pretty good job. Hey, they're doing it again against another star in Giannis. I thought both of those guys looked really strong tonight against Giannis, Mo.
I mean, no, they looked great against Giannis. I think, you know, the ability was, and sometimes this is important to how the game's being officiated. I think that always is going to be a factor in some of these things, but they were able to just hold their ground, you know, with and basically stand him up and meet the physical challenge of guarding Giannis. And that's something, listen, not a lot of people can do. They may want to, but it's just the physicality of him and the strength. Like, it was really impressive watching Horford do it, and really Williams, who has a much smaller size disadvantage, you know, in terms of height. Like, it goes a long way for them, and that was a big part of them defensively. But Dave, that's not the story, man. The Celtics offense finally looked like the Celtics offense again.
Well, and Grant Williams, actually a great two-way game from him. 21 points, 6 of 9 from 3. But, you know, no Marcus Smart in this game. They started Derek White. And the guy who really stood out to me and stepped up was Jaylen Brown. 30 points, 6 of 10 from 3. Where did this handle come from?
Well, one, he had to redeem himself for the absolute terrible game he had in game one. 7 turnovers in that night, only 2 tonight, and, you know, dished out 6 assists. Like, they really had a good control of their offense. But the most important thing was it got moving again. It wasn't other guys trying to be heroes. It wasn't other guys who were trying to go one-on-one. They got it into the paint, and then they made the correct read out of it. Where in game one, they'd get it in the paint and try to go at Lopez and try to go at Giannis. And let's just be honest, that's not going to work very often in your favor. And that was a big thing. And then the other part too, Dave, I'm sorry, I know it's a long answer. They didn't have a lot of live ball turnovers this time around, right? Like they were able to kind of, first off, not a lot of turnovers in general, just 11, took care of the ball, which kept Milwaukee out of transition, only 6 transition points for them when they had 28 in game one. Like, Dave, that's a 22-point difference. Like, that's wild, you know? I think it's going to be all of that is connected to just how they played offensively.
Yeah, and let's talk about some of the keys to the game here. Because, Mo, like, you just look at the box score a little bit. The Boston Celtics attempted 43 threes in this game. They hit 20 of them. They assisted on 18 of them. The Milwaukee Bucks only shot 18 threes. I mean, Boston's defense was doing a great job of running them off the line. And when you look at the paint points and you think about conventional basketball, or at least the way our brains are wired to think, you see 54-24 in the Bucks' advantage. And in this series, we're likely to see that more often than not because of the way the Bucks pack the paint. But Mo, this isn't necessarily a negative indicator for the Celtics, is it?
I don't think so. So the broadcast was talking about it a lot and was saying, like, you have to get points in the paint. For me, it's you got to attack the paint and then make the right reads out of it. Because if their goal is, hey, we have to beat Milwaukee in the paint, series is over. It's done. And if they do, it's going to be on the rare occasion of a game where they happen to do that. That's not how they're going to win this series. They have to shoot as well as they did from three this game. And granted, tonight was obscene, right? 46.5% from three. Like, that's a large number. But you got to hit it at that level. And I haven't even had a chance to look at it, but how many open looks they got from dribble penetrations. Down the stretch, they got at least 2 threes from Jason Tatum relocating after driving into the paint. I think all those are the key things to making that offense go. Because when at least if you're getting open looks from three, I feel much better. I feel so much better about their attempts tonight than I did in game one.
As the Bucks look to counter in game three and learn from their mistakes, I think we can point to the run that they made in the third, Mo. What was working for them then?
Well, one thing was, and probably just more realistic, was the Celtics started to cool off a little bit, you know, and I think that was part of it. But they also amped up their pressure defensively and started to kind of pick up even a little bit harder and then just started trying to attack themselves on the other end offensively. I think they were a little bit too timid. I think it was all through Giannis. I think, you know, once Drew Holiday, he struggled early and there were a couple of key moments where Jaylen Brown stopped him on 2 different occasions and things like that. I think he started to kind of, this might be harsh and you can tell me if it is or isn't, started to kind of shrink a little bit from what he was in game one to what he was in game two. And I think in that third quarter run, they started to attack more and started to get a little bit more aggressive. You had drives from Grayson Allen. You had opportunities for Pat Connaughton. They were getting into the paint a little bit, and I think that started to open up their offense more.
Yeah, and you really can tell where they're missing Chris Middleton. They don't have a guy, aside from Giannis, that you can trust to really go get you a bucket right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's if Holiday's off, you know, and there are times where he's just going to be up and down, you know, you need Middleton. Middleton's kind of that guy of like, all right, 6-7 seconds left on the shot clock, we're screwed. Where's Chris? You know, and you give it to him and you let him go cook or try to get you a shot. I think those are the things that they're missing a lot from here.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show, folks. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Mo, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding.